Hi, I'm Stephanie Shelton, and this is Conversations on Health, How We Get There. Seems like a lot of Americans these days are having trouble coping with life, perhaps because the COVID pandemic changed life as we know it, changed it everywhere, including the Czech Republic.
And I also think that the pandemic showed us that we are quite mentally fragile. Because when you want to be resilient, you have to train for that. And we didn't train for that.
That's Dr. Radek Pěkný. He's a clinical psychologist and psychotherapist, and he lives and works in Prague, which is the capital of the Czech Republic, and he's also a friend. Now, if you've been following my podcast, you know that my husband and I spend a lot of time in the Czech Republic. And like Americans, the Czechs also have growing health issues. But unlike the U.S., everybody in the Czech Republic has complete health care, including complete mental health care. And it's administered by the government and paid for by taxes. Only about 60% of Americans with insurance even have mental health coverage. And another 33% only have some coverage. So, are Czechs more likely to get psychological help when they need it? And are we working through the same kinds of issues? Well, let's start at the very beginning. The extensive university training to become a clinical psychologist appears to be about the same in the US and the Czech Republic. But what exactly is a clinical psychologist who's also a psychotherapist? Like Dr. Radek Pěkný.
Clinical psychologists are a special breed of psychologists who are allowed to provide a psychotherapy in the health system. And when you are a clinical psychologist, you have to pass two exams. One exam allows you to diagnose, and the second exam allows you to work as a psychotherapist.
If I would say in this country, I have an appointment with my therapist today, you know, and that almost always means psychology and you know, mental. It doesn't usually mean physical. Mm-hmm. You would be that person.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. I use only my words. I speak with people. I use psychological techniques and stuff like that. On contrary, psychiatrists use medicaments as a main tool of treatment. So that's the difference.
All right. So how does it work then in the Czech Republic? When I was talking to Dr. David Marks for my first podcast, he said that mental health care is covered under the Czech system, but it's simply difficult to find somebody who can help you because there aren't enough facilities.
Yeah,
how does it work with you?
Yeah, Dr. Marx was absolutely correct because there's a big problem how to get professional care. And it was demanding before pandemic COVID-19 outbreak. And it's much worse after pandemic. And the situation is that only psychiatrists and clinical psychologists can provide their care in national health insurance system. But there are not enough. It's psychiatry and clinical psychologists is not a sexy part of the, I don't know.
The medical training.
Yeah, medical training. And so there's not a lot of psychiatrists in the Czech Republic, or there's a lot of, but not enough for other people. And there's not enough clinical psychologists because we can see a tendency where young people after graduation at Faculty of Arts don't want or don't choose the special training in clinical psychology because they know it's very demanding and it's very expensive. And the requirements for special training in clinical psychology is really tough. And so the younger generations are, I don't know how to say it in English, but they choose much more carefully, or they think about their future more thoroughly.
I think we have some of the same problems here. I don't know that we have shortages, you know, of any profession per se, but it's extremely expensive here. And we have this thing called college loans that people are paying off. Some of them aren't paid off when people die even. But if you go on for advanced training beyond, say, a master's degree, I mean, you're in for thousands and thousands of dollars and with interest.
I think that the situation in the Czech Republic is much easier in comparison to US because, for example, university studies are free.
Yes.
And that's a really great advantage for young people. They can choose whatever they want to study. And the training in clinical psychology is quite expensive, but it's also depends on where you work, because there are some medical facilities who can support your education in clinical psychology. So it's not so demanding.
Well, so, that's a difference in the system. But the end result in the Czech Republic anyhow is not having enough practitioners basically to go to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you, do? What do you do if you have a problem? How do you, how does someone get to you?
Yeah. So I think that the simplest way to get to a specific care is through your GP. When you, usually when you have any kind of problem, general practitioner should be the person who can give you advice. So you go to GP and your GP will create a referral, and with that small kind of paper, you can find your therapist or psychiatrist. But where to find them? So you can choose the big hospitals, because nearly every hospital in the Czech Republic, or for example in Prague, I know the Prague area, has a psychiatric department. Usually, at least inpatient clinic, outpatient, and some of them also have outpatient clinic. Uh-huh. There are also smaller medical facilities. So,
what happens if you? I mean, that's kind of like, okay, I'm feeling depressed. I think I need help. I'll go to find out. You know, what if you have a crisis, a mental health crisis? What would happen to you? Where would you start?
You can call a crisis intervention line. It can be the first option. And for example, in Prague, we have two crisis intervention intervention centers, which operate 24/7.
Let's move on now to some of the issues. In this country, it's very difficult sometimes to get men of any age and of any education and of any profession or trade to admit that they might have some mental issues that maybe they should seek help for. Is it the same in the Czech Republic?
I think so. I think it's a global problem. And I think that it's associated with your family when you are a man. The problem is the same in the Czech Republic. I see that more women are seeking professional help. And I think that there are three possible explanations why is this situation. The first one is the atmosphere in family and approach of parents to speaking about psychological problems or about problems generally, because I hear many stories about families where where they are not used to speak about problems, about feelings, about whatever. And the atmosphere in family is what children are taught. Okay, it's like inner space. Your family is inner space, and when you live in inner space where it's not usual to speak about problems, about feelings, about weaknesses.
Yes.
So your norm, your benchmark is, okay, it's not okay to speak about my problems. Uh-huh. So I think that the family and the atmosphere in family and the approach is one of the problems. And we know that usually boys are
not supposed to show their feelings.
What I wanted to say. That's right. Okay, if you are a boy, you shouldn't cry. You should be tough. You should be okay. Yeah. And for example, you should do everything on your own. And that's what boys are taught in families, and that's the mechanism they bring in their adult ages. So this is one problem. I think the second problem is that, for example, a community of women is used to speak about problems. When women have some kind of problems, they get together and speak about it. They speak about their feelings, and small girls can see it. And it's like a pattern, okay? My mother always got together with their friends, and they were speaking about these topics. So I think that women are taught indirectly, maybe directly, that speaking about problems, feelings, and whatever is okay. And that's why I think that they are used to seek the professionals, because they know it's not expression of weakness, but it's a kind of problem solving.
Yeah.
And there is maybe a third explanation, but I forgot.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah.
And doesn't sound much different than here. Except what we're finding is among the younger generations, they're much more, even boys, because people are beginning to bring up their kids now more to be equal. And we also find that this is more true in the educated professional classes. If you have a educated family, educated parents, that's more apt to be the way kids are brought up. And if it's still what we call blue collar, which is lower middle class, the opposite is still true. Men are still, you know, the head of the household and need to be strong. It's interesting because what you're saying is we all have some similar psychological characteristics, no matter where we come from. Or, I mean, it's almost like the human brain has a nucleus that is the same wherever we come from, and then all of the rest of it gets added on.
Yeah, that's right, because I think that there are the same roots, because, for example, many people in the United States are, for example, immigrants, when you look at it during history. And so we are all the same. We face the same problems. And I also think that there is a problem, or global problem, or crisis of manliness.
Manliness? Yes, and, I'm reading about that.
Yeah, and that's a big problem, because we don't know what to do as a real man. What does it mean to be man? And there is a big crisis, because we couldn't have learned from good men from fathers and from other personalities, and we don't know what to do now. So I think that we have a global crisis of manliness, and that's one of the problems. And I know the third explanation I couldn't get, and it's when a man decides to find a professional, he usually prefer a male therapist because they are afraid of speaking about weaknesses and problems in front of women. And there is another problem, because when I remember when I studied psychology, and it was the first year of my studies, we were about 60 in that class, and from 60 people there were only 6 men. So there is a desperate lack of male psychotherapists, because women are everywhere in the area of mental health care.
At least over here, once the COVID restrictions came off, it was like the whole country went nuts. I mean, it isn't that they're committing crimes, although there are more and more random crimes being committed for no obvious reason. It's just like we're all touchy. We're all screaming all the time. We're not us. Americans are really friendly people to everybody. I mean, this is, you know, it's like, call me by my first name, hi. And that just doesn't feel like that anymore. It doesn't feel good when you're around people, even people you know. You're still a little afraid to touch people. I don't know, something's wrong.
I think that's the result of frustration, because I think that we were really good before the outbreak of pandemic COVID-19. And a lot of us had whatever we wanted. So there were no worries. And when pandemic COVID-19 came, we were unprepared. And we found out that we found out that things we could believe in were uncertain, or I don't know what to say.
Uncertain. I mean, that's exactly it. It was so out of the blue that you couldn't have planned for it, and that makes life completely random. And that means you can't plan for anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, how can I plan to go to college for 4 years when I haven't the faintest idea if I'm going to be alive 3 months from now with COVID? And, you know, maybe that's it.
Yeah. And I also think that the pandemic showed us that we are quite mentally fragile. Because when you want to be resilient, you have to train for that, and we didn't train for that, and I think that pandemic showed us that we are really, really fragile. And I think that it all crises can be occasioned to make it better in the future. And the problem is that our parents should show us how to be not confident, but resilient. You are not born in resilient mode. You have to learn it. And we haven't learned it, how to be resilient. Because when you want to be resilient, I mean mentally resilient, you have to get out of your comfort zone. And it's very difficult to get out of your comfort zone when you have everything you need, when you are not forced to get out of comfort zone.
Interesting.
And for example, I like a psychology of resilience, because there are so many interesting topics, and it shows us that everything has been invented. Because one of the core thoughts of mental resilience is Stoic philosophy. And when you look at it, you can learn a lot of functional approaches how to overcome adversity in your life. but you have to learn it. And you can learn it not by reading books, but living adversity and getting out of your comfort zone. It is the only way how to be mental resilient.
That's Dr. Radek Piekny. And we're going to leave the rest of the conversation that we had, which you're going to find is very wide-ranging and very helpful to people personally. We're going to leave that for podcast 9. Clinical psychologist and psychotherapist Dr. Radha Piekny has a lot more insights into our country's mental health issues, and particularly those issues of young people. So you won't want to miss this pod. I schedule one new podcast a month, as you know, so you can look for this one in May, and usually the podcast drops the third Tuesday of the month. Updates wherever you get your podcasts. Please do subscribe. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, Podchaser, and my host platform, the Podbeam app. The video version is on YouTube, show notes and links on my website, StephanieShelton.com/conversations. I'm Stephanie Shelton, and until I see you again, please do take care of yourself and all those you love. Conversations on Health, How We Get There is produced and edited by Frank Harold. Research assistance from Dr. Richard Saltman, Professor Emeritus of Health Policy and Management, Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University in Atlanta.